Okay, let's turn to John 16. John 16, want to get some scriptures. Zach, John 16, verse 13 and 14. Dwayne, 2 Timothy 3, 16. Brian, Mitchell, 2 Peter 1, 21. Colby, John 16, 13. John 14, 26, and more here. Buddy, John 14, 15 through 17. Kenny, Luke 24, 49. Andy, 1 Timothy 4, 14. David, Acts 2, 36 and 37. And Brian, Acts 6, 10. There's a legend that a guide in the deserts of Arabia, he never got lost. And this is obviously olden days, but what he did is he always carried with him a homing pigeon. And if ever he got in a sandstorm or if ever he wasn't sure which way to go, he would tie a cord around the leg of this homing pigeon and throw it in the air and see which direction it went, because of course it will always go home. So he was able to. So he was always able to find direction from something outside himself. We're going to do a lesson today about preaching. And I've been emphasizing in Sunday school, we're doing the lesson on the Holy Spirit. You have to value the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us in preaching. If you're going to preach, it is more than just knowing how to assemble or how to outline. There needs to be a Holy Spirit dimension, and this will be very, very profound in preaching. So let's read John 16, 13 and 14.
However, when he, the Spirit of the truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you.
Okay, let's talk about the Holy Spirit in Revelation. So preaching is not merely information. I teach, we do classes, I teach guys how to find information, words and phrases, all kinds of things. But preaching is not merely information. It is, in its origin, supernatural. So, I've had at times a word or a phrase from the Bible just pop into my head. I wasn't reading that at that moment. I wasn't studying it. But just something came to mind and appeared in my mind, and so I have learned that often that is the Holy Spirit helping me. So if I pursue that, it amazes me how that I'll preach a sermon. It wasn't on my agenda, but just from a prompting, how often there'll be someone that was exactly what I needed at that moment, supernatural. In my Bible reading, just regular Bible reading, something comes to mind that inspires me, I follow that, and again, discover that's exactly what was needed. I've preached series that, you know, you're preaching a series from the Bible, you never know, you know, I travel, I might miss a week, I can choose it in any order that I want, and yet I discover that often, I've had people that they're not even in the church. They will appear on the day that I preach a certain subject exactly for them. So this tells you that preaching is supernatural. And the reason why those kinds of things can happen is the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote God's word. Let's get 2 Timothy 3:16.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Inspiration is God-breathed. God breathe. This is supernatural. It's not just ink on paper, words on a page, or whatever. 2 Peter 1:21.
For prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit, and so this is, the Holy Spirit is involved in Revelation. So that means then a major part of Revelation for preaching is going to involve the Holy Spirit. John 16:13, back to our main verse.
However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come.
Okay, one of the primary purposes of the Holy Spirit is to guide you into truth, and that includes preaching. That is his purpose, is guiding you. Remember our definition in Sunday school, the Holy Spirit's purpose is to bring the power of God to your life personally. This verse says one of the ways he'll do that is he will cause truth to be revealed to you. John 14:26.
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance of all things that I have said to you.
Okay, teach you all things or everything. So the Holy Spirit can help you to understand Scripture. The Bible's a deep book. You're going to read it at times and you're going to go, what the heck is that about? I have no idea. But the Holy Spirit's the one who wrote it. If you ask him, our Scripture says he can teach you everything. He can help you to understand things that you don't understand. Remind you is the second part of this, is what is already read or understood. He can bring that to mind at just the right moment. So think about, if that's true, that that's his job and that's his promise, what then should be our response? Number one, our job, if you want to be a man of God, read God's word. That is our job. Our scripture we just read said he will bring to remembrance. In other words, whatever you put inside, the Holy Spirit will pull that out and put it in your mind so that you can preach it. So obviously logic tells us if you're not putting something inside, he has nothing. It's like going to a pantry, your kitchen cabinets, that there's nothing in there. So our job is to read God's word. I often say to people, if you tell me any preacher in our fellowship that you admire, you say, man, I like that guy's preaching, I know these men, many of them are my friends, I'm telling you, they read their Bible. I'm talking to them just in regular conversation, and they will all, I was reading in my Bible today, I read something yesterday, and reading their Bible, that is where revelation comes from if you want to be a man of God. So often there are people, Pastor, I want to be a disciple. How can I? Read your Bible. It's one of the most profound things you can do is read your Bible. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit for revelation. This would be an obvious is asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? That is true in preaching a series of meetings. If you're preaching away, that's true in your own church. What is it you want me to say at this moment in time? Give me something to say. One of my main prayers every morning is I'm calling out, God, you have to give me revelation. You have to speak to me. Let the word of God come alive, because that's how I'm going to feed the people. Then give me understanding. I've had passages that I'm wrestling with. I don't understand. One came to mind. I was thinking this morning when I did a series on the pillars. So as I do, I did a word study, find every pillar, sort it out, to delete multiples, get it. And so I have a list. I'm going to study these. I'm going to preach sermons. Then I came to the one about the pillars that Solomon erected in the temple. Josie's and Senna, whatever. I can't remember off the top of my head how they pronounce them. But I absolutely had no idea what that meant. I go to commentaries. They have no idea what that meant. I mean, there's just not enough information. But I began to pray, God, you got to give me, show me. And prayed over that over some weeks. And then sure enough, God spoke to me. I was able to preach. So you ask for understanding. Third thing. You, in preaching, you trust the Holy Spirit's guidance. inspiration that we read in 1 Timothy that is God-breathed, you have to believe that God can and will speak to you. The Bible gives us that promise. Waken my ear, he says in Isaiah. Deep calls unto deep is another verse. These are verses that speak about that. Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And God was able to give him message. Sometimes I am drawn to a verse or a passage, or it pops into my mind. I don't have any revelation. I don't understand it. But I know if it comes into my mind, the Holy Spirit is helping me. He is breathing on God's word because he wants me to preach on that. And so I have learned, if God is speaking, if I will follow and obey that, I've learned to trust him. It winds up being exactly what is needed, and God gives me revelation, or it meets a need. On very rare occasions, God may change what I was going to preach. That doesn't happen all the time. I understand that there are guys that they're lazy. They don't prepare or study and just say, I just depend on the Holy Spirit, brother. And maybe you're just lazy too. But I'm not talking about not preparing. There are times where I have prepared. I say, I'm going to preach that on Wednesday. I have had it where I feel prompted to preach something else. Something will change, or sometimes in a sermon, either something that wasn't in the sermon or was only very minor, I feel led to go down that track, and I discover that is God. So this is the Holy Spirit in Revelation. Let's talk secondly about preaching on the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be a man of God, you need to preach on the Holy Spirit. You need to emphasize. You have to preach on the Holy Spirit. You have to preach, in one sense, about the available power to do God's will. Preaching is not simply pointing out how people are messed up. Okay? Three more things wrong with you today. If you come tonight, I'll tell you another three. That is not what what preaching is. Preaching does convict. Preaching does present a problem. But you must always tell people there is supernatural power available to change and to do God's will. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. John 14, 15 through 17.
If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. He will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Okay, so if you love me, keep my commandments. There's the conviction side, right? You need to do right. But immediately after telling them do right, he says another comforter, another advocate. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps people to do right. You must preach. You must always balance conviction with hope. Okay, we're not afraid to convict. We're not afraid to make people feel bad. But don't leave them without telling them there is power beyond yourself. That's the only hope that we have. You also need to preach about the Holy Spirit. You have to give biblical foundation of the Holy Spirit. You're combating error. There are false doctrines that confuse and hinder people. I'm going to do that this morning in Sunday school. A couple of areas I'm going to refute false doctrine with the truth of God's word. You do that with teaching. You do that with preaching. But then also you show people our need of supernatural power. My experience, people are hungry for a power beyond themselves. Whenever I preach or teach on the Holy Spirit, people become hungry for the Holy Spirit. They want to seek God more, so you're creating an appetite in them. Luke 24, 49.
Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high.
Okay, so this is the promise that Jesus gives them is power from on high. Okay, final thought. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit in impact. This is, at the end of the day, preaching is more than information. You have to do more than just tell people facts, you know, factoids about God. Did you know? That is not what preaching is. You need a dimension that is beyond yourself. And if you've ever tried, some of you can appreciate now, you follow up on people, and some of you, you have tried the information and harassment technique, and it doesn't work very well. Okay? Are you aware that you need to come to church more? Why, no. I was not aware of that. Thank you for pointing that out. You know, it is more than them preaching trying to talk them in. If you have tried in your own strength, you'll come to two wrong conclusions when it doesn't work. Either you come to the conclusion, what's wrong with them? Clearly these are bad people, or else they would do right, or else you'll take it personally, what's wrong with me? That I can't get these people to change. So God promises a dimension in preaching beyond our ability. 1 Timothy 4:14.
Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership.
Okay, so here's the context of this gift. The word is gift, charisma. In the Greek, it is supernatural enablement. But the context is preaching. He's talking about the word of God. Neglect not the gift. In other words, preaching must involve the Holy Spirit dimension. Doing something. We see this in the Bible, Acts 2, 36 and 37.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?
Okay, so here, while he is preaching, they were cut to the heart. That's a miracle of conviction. Now all of a sudden, information about Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, was made personal. They felt it and therefore said, we have to do something about this. That's a miracle. If you have worked with people, you know this. Acts 6, verse 10.
And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke.
Okay, this is Stephen, and they are coming against him ultimately to kill him. But the Bible says they were not able to resist or stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Something happened beyond their words. This service didn't go well. Stephen was not able to give a report about how many people got saved. Instead, he got killed. And yet, it was Saul who was there. There was something they couldn't. There was something supernatural about what Stephen was saying, and then we know that Saul was later saved and transformed. This is one of the most wonderful feelings in all the world when you preach and you recognize God at work. I have preached sermons that I thought were great, and they died and wriggled a little bit in the altar space, and then were never heard from again. But there are other times when, even if I wasn't terribly excited about my message in itself, but the Holy Spirit took it. A few weeks ago, we had a lady come to church for the very first time. I preach. I have no idea. I don't remember what I preach, but so interested is she got saved, came and answered the altar call. She said to the person who brought her, "Did you tell that man about me? Because that sermon was exactly my life." That is extremely satisfying, right? And I don't remember what the sermon was, but you think of all the things. Here's the whole Bible. I could preach anything. For whatever reason, in my Bible reading is generally how most of my sermons come. But I was drawn to a passage. I saw something. I put together a sermon. But something happened more than just, wow, those were three true things. The Holy Spirit personalized it. That is what you want. You have to have in preaching. I see that in different ways. I am amazed as I travel or people in different ways get in conversation is they will tell me, I heard you preach in Prescott Conference, our conference, discipleship rally, whatever it was, and God spoke to me, and therefore I'm now preaching, I'm a missionary, whatever. It's like, man, that's a miracle. That is what preaching at the end of the day is all about, is you have to have a supernatural dimension at work in God helping you. Okay, let's open for some questions then about this. Zach?
So I know you, obviously it's a miracle that the Holy Spirit would help us in service while you're preaching or while we're preaching one day. But you've taught us before, like, to pray on, you know, pray over chairs or pray over the altar.
Uh-huh.
So when it comes to you, if you're seeing a lack of the Holy Spirit, like you're not feeling God, you know, working in your sermons, not just necessarily the gifts or anything, but just in general.
Yeah.
How do you respond as a pastor?
Well, that depends on if that's something that is happening in me. You know, you sometimes you get, you appreciate, we've talked about virtue going out of you. There are times where, you know, I'm stressed, I'm drained, so I might not be feeling God, but that's not the people's fault. That's just something happening in me. It's my job to get a hold of God. That's one aspect. The other thing, you're talking about laying hands on chairs, there are times where there is active resistance. There are people that are resisting you in various ways. In that case, it's targeted prayer. Sometimes I know who it's coming from, and I'll make a point of praying their name, you know, laying hands on their chair, asking God to give them giant No, that's not true. That's not true. So be praying in that way. That's a resistance issue. So you tackle those two. That's two very different reasons why you may not be feeling God. But my point is, don't live without it. It sucks to preach and to minister without God's Spirit helping you. So if you're preaching, you're going on and you're not feeling God, then you got to fix that. That something has to happen. You lay hold of God. And the whole point is that it's a promise and God is faithful. If I seek God, he helps me. That's the bottom line. He will change. He'll meet with me. He will refresh. If it's in me, he will overcome. If it's coming from hell, one way or another, it's his job. He called me to do that. I didn't want to do this in the first place, right? I didn't ask for this job. So if he called me and told me to do it, it's his job to help me, right? So that's what I have confidence in. Somebody else? Daniel?
So practically for us disciples right now, we can contend for this in when we're witnessing, you know, people that God will lead us more than just like in a way a script in our mind.
Yes.
God will lead us, you know, in a certain vein of thought or even when we're preaching altar calls.
Absolutely.
So lead us down a certain vein of thought as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's my challenge to disciples is to There's an element of anointing or whatever that you can't measure how much you have. I get that. Normally it's other people that recognize it or acknowledge it in some way. But in some way you need to be able to identify something supernatural in your own life. And that can be in a lot of different ways. That's, you know, breaking through in prayer, fruitfulness, whatever. But there's something about a setup. I am the other day, I was killing time. My wife and I were doing Christmas shopping. And so I'm killing time. So I decided to go look at suits that I can't afford. And so I was there. This girl, she was very persistent, young sales girl, came up to me and so getting conversation. And so I just felt the Holy Ghost sort of with it. She's a backslidden preacher's daughter. And so, man, I'm going for it in the department store. I'm preaching to her in the department store. I felt it. It was, so that was something. That was a setup of all the customers in the world, of all the salespeople, you know, and they were like ants. It was this one. She came and wouldn't go away, and so I let her have it. And it was a glorious feel. I felt it, man. I had her under deep conviction there, right in the suit rack. So it was good. So that's something. So you sometimes feel that. You know, that would be a way I can identify. I felt God helping me beyond. I recognized this was a unique setup as I began. I had no idea she was a pastor's daughter, backslidden. And so that's one way you can tell. Of course, results, you know, if you're preaching altar calls and no one's getting saved, that's a bad sign. You better fix that. You know, praying for the Holy Spirit is another way. Praying for breakthroughs in problems you've been seeing. Praying for the sick You need to have something supernatural. Because the bottom line is that the Holy Spirit never comes just in one area and stays. Bible, you know, what is it? The symbol of the Holy Spirit is fire. You light a fire in one place, it spreads. So if you've got something supernatural at work in you, it's at work in many different areas. That's why I say you need to identify yourself. Is there anything in you that is supernatural? So seek it now. Yes, absolutely. So let's then talk about something practical for you now. That would be asking the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom in the Word of God now, right? Finding revelation now. That would be a skill that you can, it's a skill, but it's also a grace or an anointing. So dig in God's Word. Teach me, show me, help me. Find a passage you don't understand and ask God to help you with it. You know. Somebody else.
Is one of the guidance things, we do a lot of activities in our church. There's always something going on. Every once in a while, there'll be overlaps where a ton of stuff is going on. Can we ask for like Holy Spirit guidance for, okay, which one should I be doing? Kind of a thing.
I guess, sure.
Is that?
Yeah. I mean, bottom line is, the Bible says that He will lead you into all truth. Everything that's true, you can ask. The Holy Spirit's practical, and that's what we're going to wind up in the Sunday school. I don't know which lesson we'll ultimately get to, but again, if you're not reading or listening to Reinhard Bonnke's book, what impresses me the most about the book is how he obviously has a basic relationship with the Holy Spirit. You think about how many times in that book, and so I prayed, Holy Spirit. All right, what do you want me to do? What should I say? How should I pray for this person? So there's so that's a part of life. God can lead you into lots of things, right? Somebody else. Thinking.
So what are some of the evidences that you look for if there's either a lack of the Holy Spirit in the church? Do you look for a lack of conversions, like as a pastor?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, I've pastored at every level you can imagine. So, I took a church, and in that church it started with not a single visitor, no visitors of any kind. Didn't matter how you advertise, how much you advertise, what color you're advertising, it didn't make any difference. No one came. So that's a bad sign. You know, I can trick a few people to come, you know. So pay them, you know, somehow. No, zero visitors. There was something obviously demonically resisting. Then I've had them where they come, they don't get saved. Resistance to salvation. Yeah, visitors that don't get saved. Then you're getting people who get saved and they never come back. People who come back and they start attending, but they don't get it. They have no revelation. Nothing changes in their life. Those are other evidences. Resistance to people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. You're praying for people, they're not getting filled. That's a sign. Praying, you know. So those would be, and then you can feel. A lot of it is, there's no app for it. You can feel it. There's just, you know. Sometimes in services, I call it swimming in molasses. You know, it's like, there's no freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's liberty, right? And so when there's something wrong, there is no liberty. It's a struggle to preach. The services, there doesn't seem to be freedom in worship. And yeah, so you can identify in lots of different ways.
So should your expectation, like say you're feeling that, right? In your church, should your expectation be like, this is going to take weeks to get over? Should you believe that God can change this today?
It all depends. Sometimes those are momentary. It's just that service. I feel led in different ways. I've done all kinds of things. I took over. I pastored the same church twice in Australia. And so both times they were struggling for different reasons, but the second time I took it over, it was no visitors, no one getting saved. You know, the services were, you know, I'd feel it in the service. It was just something sitting on it. And so there were a few times I stopped the service, like, okay, I'm not putting up with this. And I'd get four disciples, go stand in the four corners. We're taking dominion here. I'm not going to have a service that sucks like this. We're gonna pray. We're gonna take dominion. So I pray in an immediate sense. At other times, it's more complicated than that. Sometimes it's rebellion. That's more difficult because you got to sort out the spirit of the person. You got to sort out the person. You know, there's all kinds of different factors. Sometimes it's unknown. I don't know why. It's just salvations have tightened up. I don't know why. So in that case, I just simply go at it in prayer personally. So in one sense, as a disciple, that's something you can work on now. If any of you that participate in the concert is not something, the concert is not Caleb. Currently, it's not one person. We all do this together. If you do anything in the concert, if you attend, then if there's resistance or people not getting saved or there's a struggle, is you all ought to take it personally. That's preparation, especially if you want to be a man of God. That's something. Let's band together. We're not going to put up with this. We should get people saved. The services, if you feel it in yourself, what would God lead you to do about it? In personal prayer or sometimes fasting or, extra evangelism. There are different ways. So, but it's a sensitivity. If you don't ever feel resistance, that's probably not healthy. You should. And, there are some people, they feel resistance every single day of their life. They never, that's a different thing. They're the little cartoon character. It'll never work. But, yeah. Good. Somebody else. Questions. Thinking about it. Preaching, Holy Spirit. Sorry, oh yeah, Edgar.
You mentioned Reinhard Bonnke, and throughout his whole book, he starts to discern when it's God talking. How do you recognize when it's God speaking to you and you get like an idea or something, whether it's just something crazy that just pops in your head?
Try it. You test it in small ways. It's unlikely that God is going to that when you're first learning the voice of the Holy Spirit, it's unlikely that he's going to tell you to move across the world and start a new ministry. Small ways. So I feel I should pray for that person. Try it. Who knows? First time I was ever used in gifts of the Spirit, it was like a thought popped in my head of, I didn't know what it felt like to be used by God in the gifts of the Spirit. So it was like a thought popped in my head about a sickness. And so, it's not going to change somebody's life if it's not true. Right? I wasn't telling someone, you should quit your job and move away. It was, is there somebody here that you have this condition? And lo and behold, they did. It's like, wow, that was God. I didn't realize that. So now, you try it in small ways, and then you discover, now you get good at recognizing what is the Holy Spirit. So that's that's how it develops over time.
There are times when you or your dad will say, I really feel the Spirit of God in this service, as in the opening prayer or worship times. And is that something that you tangibly can sense, or if that molasses feeling, is it starting to thin up a little bit where you actually feel the liberty?
Yes, and so it comes back almost to the same as his question. I can't describe that to you, though. There's no app for that. I don't have a measurement of that. 37% rising, right? I don't, but it is. If I remember right, that word is found in the Bible, that he felt It might be a different word in the King James, but it is something that is sensed. There is a the Holy Spirit inside you. It does give you. You can sense. You can know. And so I have learned in over time. You can sense when something's wrong. You can also sense when something's right. I can't describe that to you because it is internal and subjective. But I've learned over time. You know, there's and that's also then you gain confidence by I feel this is true, but then you see evidence of it as well. That's the other thing. If I sense the Spirit of God strongly, then I would assume that God is doing something strongly. And so that would be just a correlation. So, but if you ask, that's the whole point. It's the Holy Spirit's job to guide into all truth. Help me. I have scriptures written out I pray over every morning. I pray, God, waken my ear. What does the Bible say? Waken my ear, open my eye. You know, that I would know. And so there's things that I'm praying. I want, that is so important to, it is important to feel or to sense. That's discernment, to decide between, is this God or not, to sense in people. Like the girl I was witnessing to, I felt it, to go for it with this girl. You know, in negative ways, I you know, this person, there's something wrong. It's a lot of different ways. You have to have it. And it's a pastoring without discernment, or if you don't sense the Spirit, it's very difficult. It's very frustrating to me. I can come in and I see a guy, he's a good man trying to do a work for God, and he's struggling. But then there's, it's so obvious. It's like, how could you not know that this was a problem? That's a struggle. So you got to pray, and definitely as a disciple, you need to be praying for it now. It really sucks when you're on the field and you lack basic discernment, and they're putting big money in you. That's frustrating to me. We're putting huge money in a guy, and it's like, you know, the guy that you have running the song service and he wears lipstick. How did you not know that was a problem? You know what I mean? I'm joking, kind of, but. So I've seen lots of strange things. But anyway, yeah. Discernment is a feeling or a sensation. Yeah, Vince?
Is this like when you were saying the discernment thing, the verse popped into my head where Paul looked at he was speaking and then he looked at a guy who was paralyzed, and he said he saw that he had faith to be healed.
Yeah.
And he told him to stand up, and he did.
Yes. But how did he see it? So that was a miracle, right? So in Reinhard Bonnke's book, and in praying for a lady named Jean Neal in Birmingham, England, a row of people in wheelchairs, but he walked out, and he saw her. The Holy Spirit's going to heal her. Perth, West Australia, the Perth Entertainment Center, saw a woman in a wheelchair. And the Holy Spirit spoke, I'm going to heal her. Right? So that is profound. That is a profound thing. And God's able to do that. That's why I'm doing this class, is I think it's well possible for us to go, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I can say Shonda Labippi, so we're done. I got it. You want, it's time to praise, I can do that. But you're missing the power that's very practical. That's what impresses me, and that's why I keep recommending this Reinhard Bonnke book, because all of the things that he says where the Holy Spirit speaks or guides him, it's all very practical. It's not kooky nonsense of gold dust and, you know, garbage like that. It's practical. Who to speak to, what to say, what to preach, you know, who to pray for, you know, what direction to go in, decisions, provision of money, all, you know, practical. Holy Spirit is very practical, and that is, if you read any book on someone's greatly used by the Holy Spirit, you also will see that at work. You read they had a dependence and a daily relationship on the Holy Spirit. Good. Anybody else? Andy.
You've often said that the Holy Spirit speaks to you through an impression.
Mm-hmm.
And is that, when you say impression, is that just you feel, like for example, for me, there's been times where I want to make a decision and I don't feel like comfortable with it. And it's just kind of like every time I pray about it, I don't feel at ease. Would that be
So that is a form of being led, isn't it? So the Holy Spirit leads both positively and negatively. Read Acts 16. They were forbidden of the whole. I want to go here, and they were forbidden. So peace is a can be a part of that if you have learned to develop that sense.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously there are things that are the Holy Spirit, and you still have nerves. That's not the same as peace, but. Sometimes it's like I'm thinking of that, and you've heard me or Pastor call it being checked. It doesn't sit right at this moment for some reason.
Yeah.
And so, again, that's why you got to pray for that. You must pray for discernment, because I want to know, is that pizza or is that Holy Spirit? So I learn over time.
Yeah.
And I'm astounded. You got to appreciate, when you get in my position, I make major decisions that affect people's entire life. I take that so seriously. It's not just pieces on a. I got to hear from God. I feel led. So I've learned over time, and I'm depending. I am crying out. I don't ever want to get to the point where I think I know this. Holy Spirit, I don't need you. I got this down. I need God. And so so that's one of the ways. There are things that I'm going to do that. For some reason, I don't feel good about that.
So in your observation of seeing people that have been kind of have that sensitivity to hear God's voice, or in if the Holy Spirit is at work in their services and in everyday life, are those people? Because you mentioned about people saying, "Well, I just rely on the Holy Ghost," and therefore it produces like laziness. They don't want to do anything because then it's like I'm just waiting for God.
Yeah, sure.
But I know that you as a pastor have been, you almost do everything that you can do, and through that God almost speaks to you. So do you see that people that are, I guess, digging for revelation and digging for these things are the ones most likely to get
I understand the question. I don't know, Andy, because obviously I also know of men that they are diligent to dig in God's word, but there is an obvious lack of the Holy Spirit as well in their services, their ministry, preaching, whatever. So it's not either or. They go hand in hand. So I work as hard as I can. I work my butt off to dig in God's word, but at the same time, I'm also seeking. I want a supernatural dimension. So to me, it's not either or. So I believe, if we're talking direction, I believe probably 98% of the time it is the Holy Spirit directing me in preaching, digging God's word, revelation. Wow, that was God. There's a small element of he can change my mind. He can make me emphasize something else. Sure, that is lesser, and yet I am dependent on it. But then also, that's direction and what to say in preaching. But then it is a matter of, I've had ministry without the Holy Spirit. I've had it with. I far prefer the Holy Spirit. Because it sucks trying to pastor or preach or convince people in your own power. That's horrible. It's no fun to pastor a church where God is not at work. And it's no fun to try to follow up on people, get people to change without dominion, without a supernatural dimension. So this is in everything. That's why I keep coming back, is there has to be something supernatural in that, because they go together. I work and do all I can do, but I also rely on and seek and cry out for and obey the leading of the Holy Spirit, because those together, the first part, working, it's the Holy Spirit that helps me in the first place. It's not my intellect. He helped me to find it. He helped me to preach it. And then he helps me to identify when there's an extra need or whatever. So everything comes by the Holy Spirit.
So depend on the Holy Spirit, but would you say, like, when making decisions and stuff like that, you also have to be logical?
Sure.
So, yeah, I guess.
Absolutely. So there's you know, common sense is a common sense is you know, indispensable. You have to have it. There are logical. There are things that we do that are absolutely logical, and that's how you approach decisions. But I never leave it just as in all the factors line up, it should be. Because on the other hand, I've had God tell me things that don't make sense. And that's his business. So it's my job to obey. But you get guys, again, either of those truths that you take to imbalance. You go, I rely on the Holy Spirit, brother. I'm gonna launch out, and there's no, you know, but you don't have a dollar to your name, nor have you ever had the blessing of God. There's never been a time where God has helped you financially, miraculously, so that just doesn't make sense that you would do. I'm going to sign a 99-year lease. That's just dumb. That doesn't make common sense. So you use logic, but then you also are looking for. So go back to, what was it, last week, week before? Last time we met was on pioneering, finding a place to go. So, that's, you know, the Holy Spirit told me to go to South Africa. Very clear. One of the clearest times God has ever spoken to me. But then pioneering the first time was logic. You know, what would be good for me? What could I handle? Where are there enough people to make it worthwhile but not get overwhelmed? You know, so making a logical choice. So it's both at the same time. Then I discover the Holy Spirit leads me when I'm making a logical choice. Yeah? But imbalance. I get guys that they have no common sense. They're claiming spirituality, but they need to develop brains as well. And you have guys, they're intellectual. It should work because I analyzed and computed, but the Holy Spirit can, you know, that's the point in this. You know, as I was writing here in Reinhard Bonnke's book, is he's telling of his crusade that got shut down by Muslim riots in Kano, Nigeria. And so common sense is the Air Force said they're burning, killing Christians, burning the city to the ground, looking for you to kill you. So we're going to get armored carriers, secure the airport, and take you out. But then he had a member of his team who, the guy who drove the equipment, said, God spoke to me and my wife, and we are not going to go with you. We are going to drive the equipment out on a, you know, Muslim territory, huge semi-trailer with, you know, bright red with in huge white letters, Jesus spelled out, going through Muslim land. And he said, doesn't make sense. But then just as I got here, he drove through and God blinded their eyes and they were able to come. So both of those. It doesn't make common sense to drive a Jesus trailer through Muslim land when they're trying to kill you. But that's the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's in charge, right?
You got to have that sensitivity there.
Sure. But then on the first part is they're killing people in the city because they're looking for Reinhard Bonnke. So Reinhard said, I agree. It doesn't make sense that I stay here. As long as I'm here, it's going to make things worse. That's a perfect blend of logical common sense and hearing from God. You have to have both. So, but my point in the reason why I have serious men is if I can show you what God's will is for your life, you can ask for it. You can ask for it now. You can develop that now. You don't have to wait till you're a pastor. That's what I'm saying. Look for evidence now. Try it. That was Edgar's question. Try it. I feel. You know, you can do that in witnessing. You can ask somebody. You can do it in the form of a question rather than, brother, God said. You know, have you had a relative die recently? You just feel that. No? Okay, well, it didn't hurt anything, right? You're learning to test it. So there's ways that you can be open to the Holy Spirit and sense that. And then once you hear from God, it gives you confidence. And now I'm learning. Like the first time I called out a sickness and it was like, it was there. It was like, wow, really? You're kidding. But it gave me confidence. It made me want to try more, right? Then I'm able to speak and yeah. Anybody else?
Is there a spiritual posture that you must have when contending for the Holy Spirit that enables the Holy Spirit to give you boldness to step out and to see the Holy Spirit move in your life?
The spiritual posture, number one, is dependence. That's the whole point, is you have to recognize how much you need the Holy Spirit. And secondly, it's faith. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to help me. So those are the two twin postures that cause the Holy Spirit to move. And then thirdly, obedience. Is the Holy Spirit speaks, but if I'm not going to obey, he's not going to speak to me anymore. All right? So that's what I discovered as I stepped out the first time. Now he began to tell me more. He began to tell me more. And then you get confidence in it. You grow as I'm dependent, asking, I'm trusting, seeking his face, I'm obedient. Then it gets to the point where I've had times where God is speaking to me and the people are not responding, but I know that it's God anyway. Whereas in the first, if I would have said, is there anybody here? And I said, no, I'd be like, I missed it. It wasn't God. But I've learned, it's like, no, God told me it's here. So you get confidence in that.
Have you seen like spiritual couch potatoes? It's like they're wondering, oh God, why is God not moving? It's like,
yeah,
you're not doing anything.
Absolutely. I could tell stories of guys that I think missed God because they didn't act on what God was telling them. And yeah, it's whatever the Holy Spirit tells you. That's why if you'll ask now, he will give you direction now. He'll give you challenges now. You'll obey so that when you go out, you're not starting from scratch. That's the whole point of why I do Serious Men. I don't want you to go out and start from scratch. How to locate God, that's not what I want. How to build a sermon, there's lots of different ways. That's why we're having these classes. You can learn now for the future. Yep.
When you get the Holy Spirit and you get gifts from the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
You pretty much get what you ask for, like, or is it kind of like, God just puts something into your mind and you're like, okay, I'm going to, pray for healing on people, or I'm going to, I'm going to, prophesy. Or is it something that you pray for? You're like, God, I want to get healing.
Well, so number one, the gift of healing. You don't need a gift of healing to pray for the sick. Every believer can pray for the sick. The gift of healing is for people who can't exercise faith themselves, right? If I'm praying for somebody in a coma, that's a gift. If I'm praying for mentally impaired, if I'm praying for a unbeliever, a sinner, that's a gift of healing then comes into operation in that way. So let's clarify that. Second thing, the gifts of the Spirit is, I can't remember, what's the wording in the King James on the gifts where the translation is the seek the most appropriate gift. What's the verse I'm thinking of, Dwayne?
Desire earnestly.
Best gifts. Yeah, exactly. So the Bible says earnestly desire the best gifts, and it's actually the most appropriate. What would be needed at that time? Most people do not have, unless they have an entire ministry, it's not like I got this one gift that's the only gift I have. It's you need different gifts at different times. Right? So you seek God. So therefore, God may at one time, he may move me in prophecy. Another, it's a gift of the Spirit. On the other hand, then, like everything in life, God puts desires in people's hearts. So different people desire different things, and that's from God. I've learned that as well. So there are guys that they really, really, really want word of knowledge. And I think that is God. God's putting that in there. Other guys is prophecy. Others, it is miraculous healing and, gifts of miracles, gift of healing, different things So you obey God. If God's leading you, but overall, my prayers, I'm open to whatever you want. I just want God. That's the main thing. I want the Holy Spirit. Don't leave me. Please don't leave me on my own. You know, doesn't work well. Good. Anybody else? See or no? Yeah. So anyway, one of the things and why I keep encouraging you to read the Ranhar Bonnke book or any others is that it inspires you to seek God for yourself. You know, yesterday while I was driving, I'm listening to he does a crusade in Togo, I think, Lomé, Togo. First night, 200,000 people, blind eyes, deaf ears, deaf mutes. The next day, the president asked him to come to the palace, and so lo and behold, one of his wife's relatives was a little girl, deaf mute, that got healed the night before. And so opens the door. He has the Catholic bishop there at lunch with him. So the president is asking the Catholic bishop, how come you don't see these miracles? You have the same Bible, right? Very inspiring. Makes me want to seek God. All right, guys. Thanks.